All right, due to technical assistance, we have been slightly delayed. And because, never mind. All right. Proverbs 10. We have skipped a couple of chapters. I studied last night and I got drawn to this one. Okay. So, the name of this series is Searching for Wisdom. And at the same time I've been studying for this series, I've been doing another quick look on the Restoration Movement because of some talking about membership. And I want to tell you, the bottom line is the Bible, and let's just start here. The Bible is a supernatural book, okay? It's alive. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I love, somebody actually reduced it to a graph one time. And it was just a, you know, regular piece of paper. And it was all the inner workings of the prophecies, all of it working together, all the different authors, all that, and all these colors were all over it. And it is impossible outside of divine revelation to have a book like the Bible. It's impossible, okay? Just like it's impossible for God to walk out on nothing and speak things into existence that he already knew what they were going to look like as he spoke them into existence. It's impossible. But guess what? We have a God who is bigger than the impossible. Does that make sense? So his word, and the reason I want to talk about that for a minute, is there have been times in my life when I would open the Word of God, and literally what he was saying to me right there was the struggle I was going into or going through. The Word spoke directly to it, okay? Which then made me hungry, and I would start looking and digging into that and what, you know, what it said. But and then there's the times that we just teach. We just look at what the Word says and work its way through it and apply it to our lives and to our heart. So this says the wise sayings of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Guys, I want to tell you that in my career, both as a pastor and law enforcement and the things that I've done, one of the hardest things that I've gone through with people is their utter devastation is when something happens to their child. Does that make sense? It devastates them on a level that is incomprehensible if you've not ever seen it or don't understand it. Whether it's their child doing something bad and having to pay the consequences, or their child being the victim of something. Does that make sense? And then there's accidents and there's all these things. And that connection, I'm gonna call it a connection. That connection, I want you to think of that for a minute, outside of the flesh. That is the connection that God has with you. He is our Father who art in heaven. And he wants nothing more than us to be successful. And when I say successful, that does not mean I'm not talking about finances. I'm not, you know, but I mean, Paul says it like this. It's just like, you know, I pray that God would prosper you as your soul prospers. Okay, in other words, as we grow in him, as we follow his path, that we would prosper and we'd prosper in health and in all these things. And on my worst day, and you've heard me say this before, with my children and the so many covenant children that I have, on my worst day, I want the very best for them. Is that right? Because I'm a human being. Let's just leave it like that. Okay. And he is perfect. He doesn't have a worst day. Do we suffer consequences of things we do? Is life, in this life, is there trouble? Is there all those other factors, all those other plates spinning is the way I saw it one time. But the bottom line is this, guys. Let's follow him, his path, his word. Number one, it will be health. And we talked about it for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, however long it's been. It'll be health to our bodies. It'll be health to our spirits. It'll be health to our finances. But it also brings him pleasure. And I want to tell you, that is very, very important for that relationship. But a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. That's verse 2. Now, guys, there's a statistic. You know, statistics. I've been manipulating them for years, so I know all about statistics, okay? Most heroin addicts started on mother's milk or a supplement thereof. Do you understand how crazy that would be to say that? Because all babies, you see how you can twist statistics? But I'm going to tell you, statistically, without twisting it, the people that win the lottery, you think, yeah, man, they're going to be, they end up worse off than they were. Now, I want you to think about that. I mean, now that's not 100%, okay? But statistically, you're going to be worse off financially. You're going to be worse off as a person. You're going to be worse off as a family. If you win, they at one point, they had some kind of study and a documentary called The Curse of the Lottery. Did you ever see that? Where the people were winning all this money and being mugged and killed and done wrong and died and their kids went crazy. But I want to tell you something. That is treasures of wickedness, it profits nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So let's use that word for a minute. Let's take that word and break it down. Righteousness. Okay. Now, righteousness. Okay. Let's call it right standing. Okay. So, yes, it matters what you do. How many of you know it matters what you do?
Yes.
Okay. There's a reason that I wear a helmet. There's a reason that I drive the speed limit mostly. Everybody here shook their head no. That's, I had one person say yes. But anyway, but the point being is there's a reason that, we'll all agree on this one. There's a reason I drive still on the right-hand side of the road, although somebody might be in my way on the right-hand side. I stay mostly on the right-hand side of the road, right? Okay, we all agreed on that. Yay. I got that part right. I'm not in Europe yet. Now, okay, but whatever. So here's the deal. Doing that righteousness, following those rules, okay, and you say, that's legalism, that's all that. No, I'm talking about believing that somebody's smarter than you are. Does anybody believe anybody's smarter than they are? Okay, I can prove it. I mean, I'm serious, I can prove it. I mean, literally, I enjoy air conditioning. Do you enjoy air conditioning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love it. When I was a kid, I thought anybody that got air conditioning in a vehicle was a wimp. I thought, what's wrong with those people? Why would you want an air conditioner in your car? Okay. Yeah, South Arkansas, it wasn't that hot and humid. Don't worry about that. But anyway, the bottom, you just roll in winders. Them winders just roll right on down. You know, mostly, if they still roll down in some of the vehicles I drove. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. What I understand about air conditioning is I go to the thermostat, or when I was a kid, the knob on the winter unit, right? And you turn that knob and you put it on high and you stand there in front of it, and you'll get cooled off. Now, I don't, if you said, now, Bruce, what I want you to do is to describe the way the electricity comes out of that hole. And it's hot if you ever stuck your finger in there or a butter knife, okay? And it makes it into something cold. Could you explain to me? That way, if you could explain it, then you could get cooler. Is that true? No. And what everybody in this culture, everybody right now, we've got to know every detail about everything. Well, that person said that. Well, you know, they did this, and this person did that, and this person stands here on that, and this person said, you know what? It's because you all got Google, okay? I know I'm not that smart. What I do know is the Word of God has lasted for many generations, and I know the blessings that comes from following the Word of God. And here's the deal. You say, well, yeah, but. Okay, let's quit butting, okay? And it's like a bunch of rams butting one another, or butting this and butting that. Instead of that, let's just say, you know what? Righteousness delivers from death. And the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Psalms 91, and we spent weeks on Psalms 91. I've read Psalms 91 three times this last week for my morning, and spoke it, prayed it, proclaimed it. And you say, well, Bruce, why would you do that? I'm going to tell you why. Because God's word is the truth. And God's blessing is his blessing. And I want to be under his blessing. I want to be under the covering, the umbrella of the obedience to Christ. So watch this. Because I've tried it both ways. And I can't tell you every detail about it. But I can tell you this is better. Does that make sense? Okay. So he casts away the desire of the wicked. Now, remember what happened with David. I love King David. You know why I like King David? The same reason, was it Richard, one of the black comedians, I can't remember which one, he says, man, I like President Clinton because he's got the same problems I got. But anyway, but the point being is this, okay? Literally, I love David because he literally represents the reality of the frailty of human nature, of the fall into sin, of all that, and the mercy of God as we call out and cry out to him and continue to follow him. Is that a quick synopsis? I've taught it in this church a lot. David has been a go-to guy. But here's the deal, guys. Literally, I have seen what happens when this right here, the desire of the wicked, okay? And David is writing in the Psalms. He's frustrated because he's looking over there and he says, how come the wicked are prospering? Okay, that's the main thing wrong with the pure prosperity gospel is this. If we go by that, then the richest men in the world would be the most righteous men in the world. No, I'm serious. Because, you know, if you look at it black and white, I'm not judging anybody, but I don't think that's the case, okay? What I do think is that when you plant seeds, if you plant turnips and expect onions, you're gonna be disappointed, okay? If you planted all your money at the casino, okay, you're gonna be disappointed. If you planted all your money and flesh, it is, okay, you get it. All right, so we'll keep moving. All right, so, but he casts away the desires of the wicked. He who works with a slack hand becomes poor. Now, verse 4, I could get like six other, I'm not kidding, proverbs that say the same thing. One of them says, get up, you sluggard. Yeah, I don't say that much. But it says, go to work, get to work. Okay, if you want to do well, but if you deal with a slack hand, you become poor. But the hand of the diligent makes one rich. And here's the deal. You know what rich meant in the context of the Old Testament. It did not mean what we think of as rich. Right now, I'm going to be generic when I say this, okay? I know people in other countries who deal with people every day and handing out food parcels, food portions. Most of you know who this is. I'm being generic. But here's the deal. Those people will walk. Think about this. When the buses can't run, they will walk across town, which is 4 or 5 miles in this area, to go to church, to get that, I call them flat meat sandwiches, okay, lunch meat, okay, and a sandwich and a bag of chips. Do you know why? Because they are physically hungry, and they're hungry for the Word of God. And if it rains here, we're thinking, I don't know if I should go or not, you know. I got my PhD just right. I don't want to get it wet, my Pentecostal hairdo. Anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Literally, what we do matters. And I want to tell you that as a manager, as a supervisor, whatever, it comes pretty evident who's working and who's not working. It kind of comes to the top. Does that make sense? You kind of, you know, you could fake it, but it kind of comes to the top. But the hand of the diligent makes one rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in the harvest is a son who causes shame. Are we sleeping during the harvest? Now, most of you guys, we're talking about practical things. We're talking about wisdom, okay? But watch this. When I read this, I think of two things. Number one, be diligent about what you do. Be Christ-like in the workplace. Be Christ-like in your home. Do, you know, plant seeds all around you. But let's talk about something else. There's another harvest going on. There's another harvest going on. Not just your work, not just you paying the light bill, not just all that, okay? There are people out here, this is what the Bible says about hell. Hell is enlarging itself so that there'll be room for everybody that is not following, is not a follower of Jesus Christ. It's time for the harvest. And there's people out here, and guess what they need? Everybody thinks, says, well, we need more of this government. We need more of this. What, I'm going to tell you what this world needs. This world needs Jesus. And you do not have to be a Bible scholar to teach Jesus. I want to tell you, I'm going to be generic. Let's say that I had a restaurant that I really liked. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know why it's so good. I don't know why it's so good. But when I go there, I sit there, I order what I order, I get it, and it's good, I enjoy it. And I can say, yeah, that place is good. Come with me to that place. And that's me and my relationship with Christ. I want to tell you, if I'm talking to a homeless person or if I'm talking to a person that's got a hit record, it doesn't make any difference because the answer is Jesus Christ. Because I will never forget when I moved up here 30 years ago, okay? And I was working in a church, and it was time to do door-to-door. We're going to do door-to-door canvassing. I don't know what we called it. Witnessing, whatever. Handing out flyers. It was a new church, okay? So I'm living in a trailer, okay? And I'm going to these houses that are $250,000 houses with two nice cars out front and, you know, and all that. And I'm saying, what am I going to tell these people? What am I bringing to the, what? And the church that we were in was about the size of a fourth of this church, okay? But I got very convicted, not about should I be talking to them or nothing. What I got convicted about was, so you think that what they have is satisfying their lives. Now, don't you think about that a minute. This is a person who is trying to follow Christ. And I want to tell you something. God answered, showed me a perfect picture of that 6 months later. It was my first suicide that I worked in this state. And that was suicide was done in one of those houses that I was going door to door. It was actually across the road from me. I didn't go to that house, but I want you to think about that. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, It don't matter how high your handlebars are, or how loud your exhaust is, or how low your cool ride is, or how nice your house is, or how many bushes you got out front. Now I'm preaching to Irene and Kim. I'm just kidding. Okay. Our yard looks better than it's ever looked. Praise the Lord. Anyway, if the deer don't eat it all. But the point being is this, guys. Does it matter that we then show up and plant those seeds of Christ Jesus, whether it's with the homeless or whether it's whatever it is? Is that important?
Yes.
Has he called us to be diligent during the harvest?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're not doing that, see, I've got probably an odd way of looking at it, but here's the deal. Don't come in here and gripe and say, you know, this place smells bad if you're not willing to clean it. Quit griping. If you ain't willing to get into the fight, quit, you know, complaining about the Philistines, okay? And don't get me wrong, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we've got to battle against powers, principalities, and high places. So, here's the deal. He who deals with a slack hand becomes poor. Stay, do what God's called you to do. Get up. But the hand of the diligent makes one rich. It matters what you do. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest, don't sleep during harvest. So verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous. I have a hat that I wear sometimes. And one day I was somewhere, just leave it like that. And I was studying and praying and crying out to God. And the scripture came to my mind that I'd learned many, many years ago, that I was crowned with favor. Now, I want you to think about that. I'm not talking about, yes, I'm good. You know, don't do that, please. Okay, we got enough of that. What I'm talking about is realizing that my daddy's in charge. Is God in charge or not?
Yes.
Does he know what he's doing?
Yes.
Do we always just think that's the best thing since sliced bread?
No.
Does anybody else in here ever get irritated? Good for you. You're on the right train. But anyway, but watch this, guys. I pulled that hat off and I went and got a Sharpie and I wrote favor on the inside of it to remind me that everywhere I go, that I take him with me. And that does not mean that I'm better than anybody. Listen, Balakashir, Turkey, 1978 or 9, I don't know what year it was, I stand on a mountain and I said, God, I'll be the gate guard. Just put me as the gate guard. Because listen, I needed forgiveness. I needed grace. And I want to tell you something, that's the attitude that God respects. And I didn't do that because that was the attitude I was at. I said, God, I am yours. Everything I've got. We just sing this song. Everything I've got and everything I am and everything I'm not. Because there's a lot of things I'm not. I keep them covered up as most I can. But anyway, so is there blessings on your head today? That's one small yeah. Is there blessings on your head?
Yes.
Does it feel like it all the time?
No.
But I want to tell you, there are. So right now, say this with me. I am crowned,
with favor.
You are. And that's what the Word of God said. And because you're a son, a daughter of the Most High God. And I want to tell you, if there's anything in my refrigerator, Sarah Beelan comes to the house, she can have it. Unless her mama has, or her grandma saved it for something. I mean, you know, I don't get involved in those squabbles. But no, I'm dead serious. If it's in there, as far as I'm concerned, she can have it because she's my daughter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that don't mean that we're all spoiled kids in the kingdom, because, you know, spoiled kids are never happy kids, because we've got a job to do. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked, and the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. In other words, I want to tell you something. God is calling men, women, boys, girls to his kingdom to proclaim him. And I want to tell you, that's the kingdom that will never end. Let's say I build an organization here, whether it's a church, a barbecue joint, it doesn't make any difference. Okay. And at some point, I'll go to my eternal reward. Right? Okay. I mean, I'll still be alive, but I'll be with him, but my body won't be doing that. And that dream, that vision I have for that place, whoever comes behind it, they might do it different. You might go there, they might change the sauce. You know, I don't like this location, you know, it's right here on the highway, you know, we'll go to, and you go there and it's different. But the bottom line is this, guys, look what it says. The memory of the righteous is blessed. And I want to tell you, be obedient to what he calls you to do. The wise heart will receive commands. I've already said this twice this morning, so maybe I'm preaching to myself. Right now, everybody thinks they know everything. Everybody knows everything. And you can't tell nobody nothing because they already know everything. Okay? No, I'm serious. They know everything. And the truth is you cannot deal with a problem. This is problem solving 101. This is 50 years ago, okay? I literally learned this 50 years ago. You cannot deal with a problem until you realize there's a problem. That's step one, okay? And we got a problem. The problem is, he's got the whole world in his hands, and we know that, but guess what? Everybody's going, right? And they're doing that at the expense of one another. He who walks with integrity walks securely. I want to tell you something. I was in a meeting 8 years ago or something now, and this lady walked up to me that I didn't know very well. She said, "I just heard a song that you need to sing." And I didn't know this lady very well. I didn't know she even knew I sang. I'm not kidding. And the song was Cody Johnson, "I Can't Even Walk Without Holding Your Hand." And I guess she knew me better than I thought she knew me. Well, maybe it was the Lord, okay? I don't know. But the bottom line is, I can't even walk without holding his hand. I still fall, you know, every morning before my feet hit the floor, I'm crying out to God. Before I go to sleep at night, I'm crying out to God and saying, "Lord, listen, I'm yours. Do what you will. Do what you will." And it takes that's called a focus. For those of us who may have a little focus problem, okay, from time to time, just from time to time. Just once in a while. Squirrel! Okay. But anyway, so he who walks with integrity walks securely. And I want to tell you, there's some places I go every day, not every day, but around different parts. Some of them are in the state south of us, some are in the state here. And guess what? I walk. One of them is a set of stairs, and they're there from the 1800s. And they're sitting like this. And guess what? Because I ain't never put my hand on a handrail. Somebody's been picking their nose and running their hand on it. I don't want to touch it. Okay. But not that I'm worried about germs. Anyway. But the bottom line is, guess what I do every time I go to that building now? I get on about the third time, I almost fell off. You know, that'd been entertaining for everybody. But I put my hand on it because I'm walking. It makes me walk securely. And I want to tell you something. Keep your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Amen. I think a nun sang that song in the 70s. Put your hand in the hand of the man who steal the water. Yeah. No copyright was obtained for that, so sorry. But anyway, but the bottom line is this, guys. Walk in his integrity, walk in his wisdom, holding his hand, and I want to tell you, you are secure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. But he who perverts his way will become known. And I want to tell you, what happens is it's hard to keep secrets anymore. Have you noticed that? It's hard to keep secrets because everybody knows everything, okay? The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Okay, now I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what God's done me, and part of it is because I don't care what people think anymore as much. I still care. I mean, I went downstairs and I had some flyaways, okay, that I tried to fix this morning. So evidently I care what people think. But I'm going to tell you something. I bless people from the time. I don't care who they are, where they're at, what's going on. I pray with people every day of all shapes, sizes, walks of life. And I mean, that's just what I do. Because I want what coming out of my mouth to bring life. I want life to come out of my mouth, not death. Look at that person. They're this. Yeah, I'm going to put the, cause, you know, and of course I said this 20 years ago here. I'm not willing to stand on your head. Just imagine me taking the person sitting up front here and laying you down on the floor. And I said, you know, they need to see my face a little more. I'm just going to stand on your head. What kind of jerk would do that? And that's what happens with it. Well, we're better than the so-and-sos. We're better. Point this finger. Is that right? Is that what everybody's doing to try to make themselves look a little bit better? And I want to tell you something. It's them. It's that political party. It's this. It's that. You know what? I am who I am in Christ, and that's you got what you got. Okay? And here's the deal. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. And I want to tell you, that's a choice. That's a discipline. But it's also, you have to have something in there to come out with something good.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost wants to dwell in you, with you, walk with you. If you're a child of the Most High God, and I want to tell you, sometimes I don't talk. I'll feel a check in my spirit. And it's like, okay, it's not my nature, but I'll be quiet. Okay, sometimes quiet's not bad all the time anyway. But he who perverts his ways will become known. And what another scripture that goes along with this, whatever's on your heart comes out your mouth eventually. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, that's why we have to deal with our hearts. We have to deal with our hearts because life will make you either bitter or better. Is that right? And I'm going to tell you, there's not a person in here, person that's watching, that hasn't had stuff in their life that make them bitter if they let it. And I want to tell you, the difference between the Red Sea and the Dead Sea, one of them has no outlet. It just sits there and begins to stink. But I want to tell you something. I have an outlet this morning. And my outlet is what happens is I read, pray, cry out to God. He comes in this way. And then my outlet is I let all of that go. You see what I'm saying? I let all of that go. You know, wind therapy helps, but there's some other things, okay, that I do. But I want to tell you something, guys. Working out helps, you know, praying, crying out to God, meditation, all those things matter. But the bottom line is this, that coming out is, it comes out here and it comes out in my actions for others. I recently, could be very generic, something happened and I was able to serve a little bit physically, not just I talk a lot, I pray a lot, I hug people's neck a lot, but I was able to do some physical something for someone. And when I left there, I thought, why do I feel so good? And it wasn't a workout. It was just a doing something for someone. It took the focus. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the hospital, dread it, to visit, because I thought, oh no, what am I going to say? Lord, help me. Give me the right words. Give me this. And I'd go in there and they would lift me up. The people in the hospital, the people I went to see. And it's like, how did that happen? How's that even possible? They're struggling, they're going through this, but somehow me investing in that, you know where I send people when they're dealing with depression, when they're dealing with this? I mean, don't get me wrong, we talk to people, we do, but put them in service. Send them to the nursing home. I'm gonna tell you something. There's never been a time I hadn't gone to see Charlotte that I didn't come out going, man, I'm a pretty cool guy. They love me. I'm a hit at the nursing home. I'm just telling you. And guys, and it's not just Charlotte. It's all up and down the hall. I'll talk to whoever's out, whoever's in. I'll say, there's that crazy guy. Anyway, but the bottom line is this, guys. He who walks with integrity walks securely. He who perverts his ways will become known. It's going to come out of your mouth. But he who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. So I got 1 minute. I'm going to close, literally. And this don't have to do with your eye. You know, I mean, it's not about what it is to do with is pulling things over on people, not being honest, not being this, not being that. And I, in the business world, we call it the shell game. Okay. Looky here. And it's really over here. Okay. Well, we just have this small fee for $1,500 for this right here. And when you start looking at paperwork, it's like, well, what am I getting for that? Nothing. We got this over here. We got this administrative fee. We got this fee. We got that fee. You know, and here's the deal. Why not just say it costs $20,000 and that's what it costs? Instead, it's only $1,743 with $3,000 worth of fee, and you ain't got to the taxes yet. Now, think about that. Is that right? Is that the way you want to be treated? When you go to the grocery store, what if they charge you $20 to get in? Then they charge you for your groceries. Then the fee of me checking it out for you. That doesn't work in that culture, does it? Okay. But anyway, let's be honest with our dealings. And the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. We're going to close on 11. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. I want to be a well of life. Say that with me. Say, Lord, I want my mouth to be a well of life. And guys, he wants us to represent him to the world. So Father, let us be the men and women you've called us to be as we seek wisdom in your word. In Christ's name I pray, amen. The end.